I wonder what makes you feel encouraged. I wonder what it is that refuels your life. Whom is it that you need to be around to feel renewed and refreshed? What is it that keeps you going in your Christian walk? Well, my name's Keith Harcombe, and it's the fourth sermon series. It's the fourth in our series on the domino effect. And we've been looking at what it means to as you understand each domino in Colossians, as we start off with a 2-inch domino, once we understand this one domino, it knocks over one 1.5 times its size, and then that one knocks over another one 1.5 times its size. And now we're on the fourth one. The first one, you may remember, for those of you here, was the first 2-inch domino, was the fact that we accept the proximity of to Christ that we can be, to the ascended Christ. The second one was that Christ is in you. And then the third one, what we did last week, is that Christ was in us. Some of you remember. So it's proximity to the ascended Christ, Christ in you, and Christ in us. And then this week, for number four, it is about Christ being our life. How do we stay encouraged? How do we stay refueled? How do we stay refreshed? How do we stay with people that help us, encourage us in our faith? What is it that's going to motivate us and keep us going on through this life? During my time in the Navy, there was a guy, a preacher, teacher, a pastor, who was one of those people that when you were around him, you knew that you were refueled. He was a chaplain in the Navy. He was a Methodist, but he was one of those people that when you were around him, you knew you'd been there, right? He was a big domino. He was like 6'7", and he was about 250 pounds. And when he was in the room, you knew he was there. He would come up to you and be like, "Keith," he'd always act like he hadn't seen you for like, you know, years and years. Like, "Keith, it's so good to see you." And he'd put his arms around you and give you a big bear hug. "Jesus loves you so much, Keith. And my wife and I have been praying for you. Oh, it's so good to be with you." And he would be like, you know, a lot of like sweat going on and everything. But he was just so happy to see you. He'd be so excited. And this is when you're around him, you felt refueled and refreshed and re-energized in your faith. And he wanted nothing more for your life than for you to know that. Some guys, they knew him, because we're talking, he's around sailors, you know. He was around people who were sailors, and he lived in and amongst these sailors, and yet still was somebody who refueled and refreshed you. Some guys that knew him, they'd see Malcolm. His name was Malcolm McCall. And they'd see him on the other side of the street. And then they knew he gave out the big bear hugs. So they'd be like, kind of thing, getting by like that. Didn't want to be embarrassed in front of the other sailors. But every time I was around him, he would always refuel me by sending me back to the scriptures. He would always re-energize me and place me in people who also following Christ. He was the kind of guy that you knew that you'd feel refreshed, that'd been praying for you. He'd take you to his home and he'd welcome you in and feed you. Him and his wife would just be with you. And Malcolm McCall was the kind of guy that you just wanted to be around. One day, we were at somebody's home. They invited us around for a barbecue. And everybody was there, you know. The children were there. The parents were there. The young adults were there, and the older folk were there. The whole gang of people were there. And we were just having some time together, getting together in this one house. And Malcolm was there, and he was just sitting there minding his own business. And one of the children asked him, you know, "How do we get to know God?" And Malcolm, taking up the responsibility, taking up like the opportunity right away, he leans his 6'7", 250-pound frame across the front room, puts his hands on a chair and his feet on another chair, and he says, "Well, everyone is always trying to get to God, and Jesus provides the bridge to do that." Ah. I remember his body laying across the front room. And he did that for the children that were there. He did that for the moms and dads that were there. He did it for the adults. But I think Malcolm did it for me. For me to understand that you can be refreshed, renewed, and refueled daily when you are around people like Malcolm, when you're around the scriptures, when you're around things that are excited about your Christian life, when you're around people who also want you to know that Jesus loves you. And Paul wanted this too. The Apostle Paul, who communicated the gospel around the Mediterranean, wrote to the people in Colossae. He was in jail at the time. He was in prison, in chains. And he wrote to these people in Colossae, people who were a church plant from a plant that he'd done. Phoebe had set this plant up. And he wrote to them and said, this is how you can be refueled. This is how you can be refreshed. This is how you can be renewed. And that's where our reading is today. We're back in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. If you've got a Bible in front of you there, open it to Colossians 3. It's in the New Testament towards the back. If you've got a book, if you're on your phone, just Google it. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 10. That's where we're going to be today. And Paul says these things about living this new life. He says, since you have been raised to this new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you die to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So Paul immediately talks about this new life they have in Christ. He talks about the fact that now you've got these few dominoes. Now you've got these few dominoes about having a proximity to Christ. Now you know that Christ is in you. Now you know that Christ is in us. This is how you're going to live your new life. Keep your mind set on heavenly things. Now, Paul does not mean that we walk around like this. Nothing's going on here. Everything's fine. I'm just focusing on Jesus. Nothing's going on. He doesn't mean that you should walk around with absolutely oblivion to what's going on. He says, look for things that look like the kingdom of God. Look for things around you that look like what God would want for you. God always wants to refuel your life. He always wants to re-energize your life. He always wants to refresh your life. In fact, God's MO is modus operandi. The standard way in which he works is that you would feel refreshed, that you would feel renewed and refueled in your Christian faith. Amen? And God wants that for you. And Paul's saying, this is his modus operandi. This is his MO. And he wants this for you to set your heart, set your mind, set your vision on things of heaven. This is where you're to look out for things. And what does it look like now? That's fine in this book here. What does it look like now? What does it look like today? Well, it might mean that woman across the street that you know so well, what does it look like to refuel her life? What does it look like to refuel what's going on in her life for her? What is it that she could look at you and say, oh, I want a bit of that Jesus. That's the Jesus that I want. What about the guy that works the 12-hour shifts and for 6 days a week and they're just working, working, working? And what does it look like for that person to feel refreshed? What does the kingdom of God look like in their life? What about your family situation? What about the family that you're in? The family that you don't want to be in? What does it look like to refresh that situation? What does it look like to say, yeah, I'm focusing on the things of heaven, and I want to refresh our family? Bowen, it says in his systems theory that the only way the family gets better if one person in the family gets better. How can you be in that family and look at heavenly things? How can you focus your heart on things that look like the kingdom of God? How can you operate? And this is what it's like to keep our hearts, keep our minds on heavenly things. He says, think about them. Think about things about heaven and not on earth. Then he says, you've died to this life. This life that you once had is over. Yeah, it's a mystery. Christ in me, Christ in you, Christ in us. It's a mystery. But one day, all will be revealed on the last day when Christ comes to judge the earth. Amen? And we'll know in fullness. We'll know what actually was that's going on in our lives. And we'll know that. But for now, we set our hearts, set our minds on heavenly things. And when Christ, who is in your life, is revealed, the whole world will share his glory. So he goes on to say, here's some other ways you can be refueled. Here's some other things you can do or not do in order to stay refueled and refreshed. Verse 5, he gives us like two sets of five. The first five are the big heavy hitters. We're going to read them together. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do those things when your life was a part of the world. So here's the first five heavy hitters. The first five that Paul goes straight into. Now he starts with these because these are the most difficult. Sexual immorality, that's immorality as in the way God originally set it up. Anything deviant from that will say that is not good for your life. And these other four connected to it are just the same kind of factors of that. Impurity, lust for something else that's not yours, and evil desires. And then the last one, which kind of attaches the whole thing together. Greed. I want that. That's mine. I'm going to have that. Even though it looks like that's not mine, I'm going to have that. Anything at the root of that. Now, do these things, if we do these things, do they refuel us in our Christian faith? Do they refresh us? Do they renew us? No. In fact, if you are the recipient of any of these five things that Paul talks about, you do not feel refreshed. You do not feel renewed. You do not feel renewed in your faith. If you're the recipient of these, you feel bad. You feel that God is not on your side. You feel somebody's against you. You feel pain. And if you are somebody that does these things or has done these things to others, you feel shame and guilt. And Paul says, you know, God's going to get angry. You're pretty angry at yourself. You're pretty mad at yourself that you've done these things. And obviously there's consequences and comeuppances from doing these sins. Paul says, don't do these things anymore. Don't do them because they're not good for your life. Try to put these things to one side. He says, put them to death. Don't have anything to do with them. He says at the end of this little section, he says that you do these things and your life was still part of this world. You once was that way and now you are not. My friend Malcolm McCall, even though he was amongst sailors, even though he was amongst those dirty sailors. And if you don't know what a sailor looks like, if you don't know what sailors do, if you can't imagine what sailors do, just think Pirates of the Caribbean. even though Malcolm lived in and amongst these kinds of people, even though he lived amongst this kind of sin life that was going on, never once did he say, "You once lived like this." Never once did he say, "Don't do that." Never once did he say, "I've seen you do that, don't do that." He demonstrated with his life how to live. He showed me what love looked like. He showed me through the way he treated his wife, the way he treated his wife of 30 years, Janet, back then, what it was like to love, what it was like to feel refueled and refreshed. Never once did he say to me, "Keith, don't do that." I just knew that I shouldn't do it because I looked at Malcolm. Paul gives us five more. He likes these five things. He likes talking in fives. He says, "But now it's time," this is verse 6, "but now it's time to get rid of anger, rage." Anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. "Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature." So now he says it's time to get rid of some other things. We talked about the rough things. Now we're going to talk about these things. He says, put off malicious behavior. And the Greek there for malicious behavior, translated other ways in other English Bibles, is kakaia. Kakaia, which means distressing behavior, hateful feeling, or humiliating others. Slander, or we should say, or add today, canceling people. Making people feel worse than they actually are. Making people feel lesser than you. Doing things to others that makes them feel that God does not love them. He says, don't do that. I don't know whether you do it on your phone or whether you do it on social media, whether you just do it to people as they walk out in the lobby or they're in the parking lot, whatever it is. He says, don't do that. Don't do that malicious behavior because it doesn't make you feel refueled, amen? It doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't refresh you. It doesn't renew your faith in Christ. When I was around Malcolm, I felt like I could do something better in my life. I knew more of who God was. I knew whom God was and how much he loved me because I was around him. Paul writes this when he's in chains. He writes this when he's in chains, encouraging other people, wanting them to be better. And he says, don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to others. Put on your new nature. We're going to talk more about that next week. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and be like him. Always, there is more to know about God and more to know about Christ in the way we live our lives. This life helps us feel, when you're around people that help you feel renewed and restored in your faith, it is good for our lives. And Paul says, find out all you can about Christ. In the funeral last week, the daughter of the deceased was asked, what was his hobby? What did he like to do most? What did he do with his life? He liked finding all he can about who Jesus was. He liked understanding more about what Christ did for him. That's a good hobby, right? Paul says, learn to know your Creator and become like him. Learn to know your Creator and become like him. And so the dominoes are starting to fall. Notice in these 10 things that Paul talks about, and these 10 things that Paul says, put off. They're things that give us instant gratification all of a sudden. They're things that if we do them, we immediately get exactly what we want. Paul's saying, this is what you got to do for the long game. Show me the long game, Lord Jesus Christ. Show me. how I can live my life so that I can know the long game. And so we have our fourth domino. I want you to welcome Lily to the stage. She is going to help me get my dominoes out. Oh, you guys didn't welcome her. Welcome Lily to the stage. Okay, good. We're going to get our dominoes behind here. And we are at our fourth domino already. Lily's going to get one and two. She's well rehearsed at this. And the fourth domino tells us about our life in Christ. The fourth domino helps us understand that this is the most important thing that we need to focus on. Now, remember domino number one? Show them domino number one. Switch them around. Good job. Good job, Lily. Domino number one, remember, was our proximity to Christ, our proximity to the ascended Christ. We must have that domino first. The second one is that Christ is in you. Thank you. One person paying attention. Thank you so much. Christ is in you. And then the third one is Christ is in us. Thank you. And then today, Christ is your life. And you can imagine when each of these things start to fall, that actually what we want to do is we want our life to be secure in Christ. We get excited about when we see Christ's heavenly work, when we see things of heaven that we're focusing on. And when that happens, when we get the first one, it's like a domino effect. I didn't rehearse that. It's like a domino effect. Thank you, Lily. And when we see the fourth domino fall, when the fourth domino of Christ being our life falls and we focus in on the heavenly things and we see those things before our lives, we get excited. We get excited and we don't want to do the 10 things that Paul lists. We want to be around people that refuel our lives, that refresh our lives and renew us. Amen? And we say, oh, I love to see it when things of kingdom of God come into this place, when I see them happen in my family, when I see them happen on Saturday, then not just when I'm sitting here in church, when I see them in and amongst my family, when I see them happening in and amongst people that I've spoken to in the street, you get excited, and the dominoes just started to fall. We get excited. And we start to realize that our life in Christ matters more than anything else. Domino number four is that Christ is your life. Amen? Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the dominoes that are falling in our life. For the dominoes that are falling in and around our families. For the dominoes that are falling, Lord, as we come to comprehend how much you want for our lives, as we get excited about seeing the kingdom of heaven coming in and amongst our midst. We pray, Lord, today, as we sing, as we reflect on your scripture, that you would help us in living a life that looks like you. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And all of God's people say, amen.